Come on, God is good. He's so good. He's so for us. He's so with us. Amen. And He's risen. Let me say that again. He's risen. He's alive. There's a song that says, how can you know that He's alive? How do I know that He's alive? And the reality is I know it, and I can tell you that I know it, and I can be assured that I know it because He lives inside of me. I remember the day that I was lost. I remember the day, I heard all about Jesus, but there was a day that He came to me, and I asked Him into my heart, and He became real to me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to speak to you for a few minutes this morning on the unexpected resurrection. The unexpected resurrection. Now, here's the really crazy deal, is that Jesus, for 3 years, said, I'm going to die, and I'm going to be raised on the third day. Over and over and so many different ways, I'm going to die, and then I'm going to be raised on the third day. Just like Jonah was in the belly of the whale. Tear this body down, and it'll be raised back up on the right day, right? And yet His disciples didn't believe it. I'm talking about the few that walked with Him, they didn't believe it. They didn't believe that He was going to die. Do you remember, and we talked about a little bit, about Palm Sunday, or this triumphal entry. And everybody was excited. Why? Because it was the culmination of 3 years of Jesus doing miraculous stuff. You know, I follow some powerful ministers today, but I don't know any minister today that, regularly has deaf ears open, blind eyes open, where the lame walk, right? We see some of that, and we believe that He's the same yesterday and forever, and we've seen miracles happen, but the rate that they happen with Him, just imagine His disciples walking with Him every day. Oh, man, what's going to happen today? Is it going to be fish that are multiplied? Is it going to be coins coming out of fish's mouth? Is it going to be, miracles happening? Is He going to really confound those wise leaders? Come on, you got to just imagine that when the disciples were there and the Pharisees came and the religious leaders came and they were trying to question Him, to trap Him, His disciples were going, this is going to be good. Why? Because He's going to put them in their place. They're going to ask Him a question. He's going to ask Him a question. And they're going to go walk away going, oh, what happened? What happened to us? And so they had the triumphal entry. And in the triumphal entry that's recorded in several of the Gospels, but it's recorded that He came and they were just, they had leaves going up and they had branches and here comes the Messiah. They thought the Messiah is coming. His disciples thought He's the guy. He's the prophet that we've been waiting for. He's the man and He's coming in. He's coming on this colt. So this is it. But you see, they were expecting to have Jesus their way. See, they had read the Old Testament and the promises of the covenant of the Old Testament. They were in the Bible and they'd read them and they said, yes, He's coming. But part of what He was coming for was to establish the nation of Israel and the kingdom of God in the nation of Israel. But they didn't understand that there were two comings. The first coming, He established His kingdom. But He didn't establish it on earth. He established it in us. He established it in our hearts where He could come and rule and reign with us. So they were expecting, again, they were expecting Him to come in on the donkey, come into Jerusalem and say, I'm here, all you Romans out. And then that didn't happen. And although they'd seen all the miracles, they'd watched Him do things, and they accused Him, and they crucified Him, and His disciples, just think about this for a minute. You've been following this man for 3 years. You've been talking to everybody that you know, He's the one, He's the one, He's the one. And you're looking at them, and even at the Last Supper, it was, you know, they were still having an expectation of what he was going to do. But he told them, I got to go away. And where I'm going, you can't come. But when I come again, I'm going to receive you to myself. But they didn't believe it. They didn't understand it. How could they comprehend it? Because no one had been like this before. So he's in the middle of the supper, and then he says, all right, it's time. My time is at hand. He went out to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he literally cried and sweated blood-soaked prayers. And he said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. In other words, he's saying, God, if there's any other way, let this happen. But the disciples didn't fully realize what was happening because most of them slept during his prayers. Right? But then his disciples look, and here comes this army with Judas leading the army, and they came and they got him. And when they got him, they took him away. And most of them ran and hid. Peter was sneaky, and he kind of came in to see what was happening, and there was others that saw what was happening, but they saw the pain and the torture and all that he went through all the time, thinking, wait a minute, I thought this was the king. I thought this was our Messiah. I thought this was the one who was going to clearly come into our lives and take care of everything. I thought utopia was here. And so they watched him being whipped and scourged and all of the horrific things that happened to him. And then they watched him die. And their hope was vanished. And for 3 days. And during the Sabbath, they couldn't go to him. So for 3 days, they're sitting in the room. And think about this. They're scared. They're frightened. They're disappointed. They're absolutely heartbroken. Because their expectations of Jesus weren't met. And then they were afraid because, wait a minute, we hung with him. We put our name on him. We put our name with him. That same thing that we saw Jesus go through, maybe we're next. We're next. And so the Sabbath was over, and it came the morning of the resurrection, and the Bible talks about how that Jesus, you know, was in the tomb, and they ran to him, Mary and a couple of the ladies, and they were bringing the spices and everything to basically do for Jesus what was needed to be done so that his body could be at rest. So they were going to clothe him, wrap him, you know, put all the things around him that they normally do. And they got to the tomb. And they went, hey, wait, he's gone. But think about this. They'd heard for 3 years, I'm going to die. 3 days later, I'm going to be raised again. But they came, watch this, they came in the middle of that, and here they are, and they come to the tomb. Who took him? I mean, you'd think, duh, but who took him? Why? Because they didn't expect him once he died to be raised. So Mary's talking, and there are angels present, and they say, why are you looking for him here? He's risen just like he said. He's risen just like he said. And then again in Luke chapter, let's look at Luke chapter 24. Here's a story of the men who are walking away from Jerusalem with their heads down, and they were just going, we don't know what's going on. Here we were serving Jesus. We love this man, but he's dead. It's all over. It's all done. And let's go to verse 25. So he's talking with these men, and he's talking, they're walking along, and Jesus appears to them, but they don't recognize Jesus, and he's walking along with them, and they're talking, and they're conversing. But listen to this. This is so incredible. Then Jesus said to them, Jesus is speaking to them, the one that's risen, but they don't expect him to be risen, they don't believe that he's risen, is speaking to them. He said, "O foolish ones, how slow of heart to believe that all the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to be suffered these things and enter into his glory?" In other words, you saw in the Old Testament and you were looking forward to the prophecies being fulfilled, but you didn't look to all of them. You didn't know all of them. So they didn't have an expectation that Jesus was going to die and be raised from the dead. So they're disappointed. They're heartbroken. They're hurt. They're walking away. And so at the beginning of Moses and all the prophecy expounded to them in all the scriptures concerning himself. And they drew near to the village where they were going and indicated that they would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is evening and all day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they knew him and he vanished from their sight. Woo, glory to God. They weren't expecting that at dinner, right? They weren't expecting that at the meal. Watch this. This is such an important part. And then they said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scripture to us?" In other words, the Holy Spirit was working on their spirits to speak to them about the resurrection through the scripture, and their hearts were leaping on the inside because God was communicating with their heart. I remember the day that the Lord communicated with my heart and revealed Jesus to me, and it became something that my heart leapt. In other words, my heart, this is right. This is true. This is the story. This is an actuality. This is something that I can partake of. It came to me one day when my heart leapt on the inside, and then I had a decision to make. Am I going to believe what my heart is saying to me, or am I going to deny him? I'm here to tell you that I went option A, right? I went with option A, and I've had a relationship with him ever since. But look at this, verse 33. So they rose up the very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told him about the things that happened on the road and that was known in the breaking of the bread. And as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace be to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do you doubt in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that is, it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they were, listen, this is incredible. But while they still did not believe, for joy and marvel, he said to them, "Have you have any food here?" Had they seen all this and they still didn't believe? Because the expectation for the resurrection wasn't there. They weren't expecting Jesus to be raised from the dead. They said, "Well, maybe this is a spirit. Maybe this isn't really Jesus. It's not the same one. Maybe we're just seeing an apparition or something." But Jesus said, "No, I'm flesh and blood. Handle me. Handle me, handle me." And so the revelation of the resurrection came to them in such a powerful way that he said, "I'm not dead. I'm not just a spirit. I'm not just in your imagination, but handle me, touch me." Why? Because I'm alive. I'm alive. I'm alive. And then for 40 days, he had interactions with them until he was ascended into heaven. I want to tell you that today in our lives, we have people who don't really expect a risen Savior to be alive in them, that they can have a relationship with, that they can have an absolute personal relationship with God. Jesus said this, "I am the resurrection and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me." You see, you have to be at the place where you're allowing the risen Jesus not the historical Jesus, not the one that you heard about, not the religion that you grew up with, but that you in your heart believe in the risen Savior, right? And nobody else can do that for you. Your mama can't do it for you, your daddy, your grandpa, your grandma, your neighbor. Nobody can develop your relationship with God but you. But here's what I'm telling you, that Jesus wants you to know that he loves you, that he's alive, and that he's for you. And even now, in your heart, there's something going on in your heart that's saying, I need Jesus. Or if you've been saved, if you have Jesus in your heart already, you're going, I know that's true. I know that's true. I know that's true. Why? Because he's alive. I said he's alive. And he's risen and he's in me. I'm not looking for Jesus to come necessarily because he's already come to me. There is a day coming when he's going to fulfill the second half of his prophecy where he's going to establish a literal kingdom on the earth. And I'm looking forward to that day. But I don't have to have that day, come on, to believe in what he's doing in me now. In fact, Thomas wasn't with them here. And so Thomas said, man, I'm not going to believe till I touch his hands and I touch his feet. And, you know, in fact, I've got to see it to believe it. So when Jesus appeared the next time, he said, hey, Thomas. Hey, Tom, come on over. Come over here. Take a look. And Thomas didn't have to look anymore. He just, oh, my Lord and my God. I could just imagine him melting into the carpet. My Lord and my God. And here's what Jesus said to Thomas, and it rings out to me now, is that Thomas, you're blessed and you believe because you've seen. But even more blessed are those who have not seen yet believe. You see, I don't need a miracle to show me that Jesus is alive. I don't need your testimony to tell me that Jesus is alive. I appreciate all those things. But what I need to know is that in my heart, he's revealed himself to me. And I yielded my heart to him. And I said, Lord, I need a Savior because sin has kept me from God's presence. I know I'm not right enough to be in his presence. So I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. When my heart leapt from inside of me, I responded to that, and it changed not only my day, not only my year, not only my life existence on this earth, but it changed my eternity. Glory to God. When that day I got saved, I wasn't expecting to get saved. But the resurrected Christ came to me through the testimony of somebody else. And the Holy Spirit came into my heart and I began to flourish in God. Glory to God, because I yielded myself to the resurrected Christ. Hallelujah. Peter, in his first sermon, he had thousands of people that gave their heart to him because Peter preached from the Spirit of God and said that, yeah, this one you crucified, you crucified him according to the Scriptures, but don't worry about that. He's alive. He's alive. And they said, it says that their hearts were touched. And because their hearts were touched, they said, what must we do? How do we respond to this? And he said, repent and give your heart to Jesus. Repent and be saved. What does repent mean? It means you got to quit thinking the way you were thinking and start thinking in line with the way he thinks. Right? It's no longer about you keeping the law and being good by yourself. It's in you having faith in the one who paid the price for your sins. He's risen. He's alive. And because he's risen, the Bible says that I've been raised together with him in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? He paid the penalty for my sins so that I could have his righteousness on and in me. So that I could go clearly and freely before the throne of grace to find help in my time of need. That unexpected resurrection day that I had in my own heart. led me to faith. And faith comes from an expectancy of what God has said and what He's done. Amen? So that unexpected resurrection became the resurrected life that we now live in. Amen? So when you think about today, you know, we're going to have fun for the kids. We're going to give out Easter eggs and all of that. But it's not about all that. It's about the fact that He died for me. He took my sins on the cross. He nailed every sin that I've ever committed, ever going to commit. They were nailed on the cross with Him. He paid the price for that. But when He was raised from the dead, I was raised with Him. And I have the newness of life on the inside of me. God wants to make Himself known to me and through me. And He wants the same thing for you. Everybody that's listening online, He wants the same thing for you. Glory. It's not about rules and regulations. It's about relationship. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, I just thank You and I praise You and I honor You for all that You've done for us. And Holy Spirit, I pray that You've taken my simple words and You played on the hearts of the people that are here in the room and that are listening. And listen, with everybody, just bow your head for a minute, close your eyes, and just imagine Jesus being in front of you. And He's saying to you, come unto Me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Holy Spirit is drawing you to Jesus even right now. Maybe you're like me, that I didn't know God, even though I'd heard about God, but I don't know Him. But today the Holy Spirit would say, come. Come, believe, and receive. Let Jesus wash your sins away. Let His resurrected life bring you joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and kindness. Let that be yours today. So we're all going to pray this together, but if you pray this from your heart and you really mean it and you will lay your life down for Him, He will change everything. And maybe you're saved, maybe you know the Lord, but you know, all of us live out of our self-interest, and God wants us to lay that down because we believe that because He lived and we're raised with Him, we can live our lives for Him. So let's just pray this together. Everybody repeat this after me. Say, Father God, in Jesus' name, I come before You in need of a Savior. I believe in my heart, and so I'm saying it with my mouth, that Jesus is the Messiah. He is Lord. I need the Messiah. I receive the Messiah into my heart. And Lord, I believe that He was raised from the dead. So I am risen with Him. I'm seated with Him in heavenly places. Lord, take my life. And if there's anything, Lord, that You want me to do, I'll do it. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. We're going to have the worship team come up. We're going to do one more song, and then we'll be dismissed. Leave the chairs up, for that's going to be part of the thing. And then again, when we're through here, make sure that you go to your volunteer station. The kids will be here in a little bit, or more kids will be here. We're going to have a great time. Smile all day long, amen, because you're representing Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Let's worship Him.